Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Ren. Guys, we are finally back in our original recording spot, which is basically like the upstairs room of our like, what is like?
Masjid multi-purpose hall thing, place. I don't know. It's very hard to describe. It kind of, from the outside, it looks like a storage warehouse for Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah.
But we actually use it for like
events and like Jummah. Yeah.
It's because we have this other little masjid and it's so small that we outgrew it because there are just like a lot more people started coming to our masjid. Woo-hoo! And like moved here. So we built this place and there's like a little upstairs office. And if anyone follows me on Instagram, I posted about this one time that we record in the upstairs office of the UIC. So we're back.
Yeah. And we like actually stopped recording here because people started playing badminton on our recording days. Well, they were already playing badminton. So like me and Rawan were the intruders.
Yeah, true.
And like we tried to do it and then we would just hear like, oh yeah, yeah. And people were screaming and they're like so passionate about it. And we were like, okay, we cannot do this anymore.
Yeah. Sometimes if you listen to our old podcast or our old episodes, you could listen in the background and hear people like shouting in the distance. Yeah. And we would have to like record the same thing over 5 times just because they were like talking in the background or you could hear them yelling from downstairs. But yeah, technically we were the intruders. They've been doing that for way longer than we have been podcasting.
Yeah, but technically we just like changed our date. So now we're good.
But now we're back today because our original spot
is closed.
It's the library.
The library doesn't open until 9, so. Or does it even open at all today? Actually, I don't know, guys. Not going to lie, I actually miss this place. The beautiful green walls and the AC that makes so much noise.
Yeah, I feel like we have so many memories of us from when we were super, super tiny kids in the masjid. And the masjid has so many, like, different memories for us. Mm-hmm. I remember when we were younger, our older masjid had like these like carpets and they were like color block carpets.
Oh, so ugly.
Yeah, they were really ugly. And it was like turquoise and then tan and then turquoise and then tan and then it would repeat and repeat. And when we were kids, we used to play this game and it was basically like, I think we called it sharks and minnows. And basically you'd have to stand on the tan because that was the land and the blocks were like really wide. And so you'd have to jump over a super wide block and make it onto the other tan one. And if you land on the blue one, that's where like sharks were and you would die. And we would literally play that game for like hours at the masjid when we were kids. Like we would get really creative.
So when the Islamic school was still at the masjid, I always used to like look at the carpets. Like I remember myself, like even when we prayed, they were so distracting.
Yeah.
I mean, I get really distracted by everything. So I'm always like, I was always like, why are these carpets this color? And like, you know, I try to make shapes in them. Like I never actually focused in my prayer, which is terrible. But I was really young, so I don't think it counts. But even now with these carpets, I'm like, why are they so bright? And like, I'm looking at the picture. I don't know. I just get distracted really easily. So I'm not a fan of the carpets.
You guys know Dory from Finding Nemo? That's what Rend is like. Like literally exactly like Finding Dory. We're talking about one thing and the next minute she's like over here like, oh, look, there's a squirrel. Like Dory, exactly.
Guys, my family always tells me that. And yesterday I was like talking to my cousin and I was like really hyper. And then I went from this story to this story and I had like 5 stories. And then at the end she was like, Rend, listen, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I had forgotten what I was talking about anyway. So I never finished any of my stories, but I don't know why I do that. Like I just kind of forget. And then I remember something. I'm like, oh, this is so interesting. So let me tell you it. And then, yeah.
Like Dory, everyone. That's exactly what I'm just like. But yeah, I feel like even though our masjid has like so many of our good memories in it too, though, as you get older, you start to realize like all the problems with the masjid.
Yeah, I feel like you start drifting away. And I've like seen that with other people. And I'm like, why are they drifting away from the masjid? Like it's such a great place and stuff like that. But then now I've started to realize that I'm drifting away. Like last year, the year before to me, it was like, I always have to be at the masjid like Fridays. And then whenever there's events, like I have to go because like it was so important to me. And then like this year it just came and it's not even important to me. Like I just go, but it's not like I'm pushing myself to go, but it's not like how it was before. And I really don't know why it's like that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like as you reach like certain ages, like masjids might start like might stop engaging with like certain ages. So you start to feel like, oh, like there's not really anything for me at the masjid and stuff like that.
That's true. Like whenever there's an event or something, I'm like, what am I going to do? Like I remember with us, like even for like Hayat festivals or things like that, we would be like, okay, what are we going to go do? So we like just go just to see each other.
Yeah.
Because like we didn't have like cars or whatever to go and hang out outside because we were just lame.
Yeah.
And then we would go there and we were like, okay, we were not doing anything. So we would have to make up something for ourselves to do or just sit there and talk or do something like that. But I like, especially this year, I felt like that stepping back.
Yeah. Cause there's like not that much really like for our age group or we're not being kind of like directly engaged in everything. Yeah. And I don't think it's a problem with just our masjid. I think it's with a lot of masjids in America. And I think this helps us kind of like jump right into what we want to talk about today, which is just like the topic of like masjids in America and kind of assessing how they are right now, because as great as they are and as important as they are, because they're really like the only place where Muslims in America can gather, I feel like they have like so many things they need to improve upon and no one is really talking about those things.
And it's because, like, I feel like because there's a new generation coming up, so people are focusing on that generation, but then they're forgetting about the ones that are actually going to be there when our current leadership is not able to continue what they're doing and they need the new generation to come up and step up.
Yeah, and I feel like one of the biggest problems with masjids in America today, too, is that a lot of people, like, have questions about Islam because of how controversial and how like complex a lot of topics are. Like there are so many new topics in Islam that are coming up as like time moves on and as we get into like new years and different things like that. Like people have really complex questions about Islam. And living in America, like you always hear about Islam on the news, and even living around the world, like you always hear about Islam on the news, and there's always so many things. And those things make people like doubt Islam and doubt their religion. And when they don't have a place to go get their questions answered, then people start to drift away from Islam.
Yeah.
And masjids are supposed to be the place where people get like those reliable in-person sources for their questions to be answered. But I feel like, at least from my experience, I don't know about people in other masjids, but that's not what I've seen in the masjid. It's like there's not really that many people that you can go to. It's like their job specifically for you to go and ask questions. And a lot of times it just turns into like a very like,
It's awkward, or they become concerned for you and like,
yeah,
why are you having these questions? Why do you think that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where is this coming from or stuff like that? And honestly, you should be able to ask your questions because, again, like we are the first generation of Muslims that are living here and like with all stages of life. Like we were born here, we're growing up here, like everything. So we have a lot of questions, like, and in a cultural context, these questions might seem to be shameful or be too taboo or just embarrassing to ask, and which they shouldn't be, but people might be afraid to ask their questions, so they just don't.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people will be like, oh, well, the masjid has the imam, you can go ask the imam. But realistically, especially coming from like, the masjid is obviously like very like gender segregated. Mm-hmm. So like from the women's side, like if you have a question for the imam, if you want to go after any prayer, like he's on the men's side and there's like 50 men surrounding him, talking to him, like asking him about his day, blah, blah, blah. And there's not really like a time where you can go up to the imam where you feel comfortable and where he might be comfortable for you to ask him questions. Or even after like Jummah, there's like 400 people at Jummah, and going up to him after is like not ideal, because if you have a question that's important or something that you don't want everyone to hear, going up after Jummah is not feasible. So I know, especially from the women's side, it can be very uncomfortable and very just like not feasible for you to go up to the imam and ask them questions, just because of like how our masjid is set up and how things are run. And if you have a question that's like important and personal, like you don't want to be asking it in front of everyone.
Yeah. And I feel like we've had so many imams these past couple of years that it's not like we have one person that we can fully trust and start to get to know better.
Yeah, yeah.
We had this one sheikh who was amazing, like when I was younger. And I feel like if he had stayed, we could trust him and ask him these questions. But it's just, we haven't had a stable imam for such a long time. And it's just hard to get to trust the person.
Yeah, I definitely feel like turning over that leadership so often really makes it so that people don't have time to get to know the imam. And I mean, and that's just specific to our masjid.
Yeah, if you guys have a stable imam, you should be grateful.
And another thing too is I feel like a lot of imams, especially, it might be like the way they're trained, but a lot of times they give like khutbas or lectures that are just like not applicable.
The number of times I have fallen asleep in a khutbah is ridiculous.
Like if you are giving a khutbah, I mean, all of Islam is important, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And everything in our religion is important to learn about. But I think there are times and ages to learn about certain things. And sometimes, like, sitting in a Jummah khutbah, like, I remember when I was younger, like, I would walk in and walk out, have no idea what the imam was talking about because
mom would ask me, and I'd be like, and I remember your mom would ask us, yeah, if we would go to Jummah together. She'd be like, yeah, so what did he talk about? And we would be sitting there like,
we don't know.
Great question.
Because, like, if the topic isn't applicable to everyone, then it's just going to exclude a huge audience. And I think that that's one kind of approach that a lot of masjids take, is like a one size fits all approach. They have hundreds of people to lecture at, so they pick some very like general broad topic, and sometimes you can't really do that. You have to split it up. You have to think about the fact that what adults need to hear is not what young people need to hear, and is not what college students need to hear or what kids need to hear.
Yeah.
And it's definitely impossible to cater to that many people in one khutbah, but I think that that's where it comes to have like additional sessions and like splitting things up outside of just like Jummah.
Even if you do like four khutbahs this way, you should do, I don't know, like maybe mixing it up. And I was thinking while you were saying that, like, you know, we're not required to go to khutbah.
Yeah.
Women are not, people that haven't hit the age of puberty that are men are not required, yeah, to go. So it's like, okay, well, that's why he's focusing on that audience. But at the same time, if you're not catering to those younger audiences, they're not going to want to come because they're like, oh, this is boring. I don't have to go. I'm not going to go. So then they don't get integrated into the masjid environment. And then you've already started out in the wrong way.
Yeah. And I think a lot of imams now, especially like on social media and on YouTube and stuff like that, like a lot of them really are trying a lot harder and are trying to deliver topics that are relatable to a lot of people. But I don't think enough masjids have hopped on that train.
And another thing that we've noticed is that like Sunday schools or Saturday schools and things like that, they're focusing on the fundamentals of Islam, which is great and they're so important. But I think those times should also be used to talk about the issues that young Muslims go through. And throughout like my whole time going to the masjid, I think I've only met one person at Sunday school, which was like my last few years, that actually integrated that. And he made us do like projects and stuff like that to make us think about Islam from like our perspectives and see how much, like how important it is being a young Muslim in America.
Yeah, I definitely don't think we like need to stop teaching fundamentals of Islam. Like those are like the fundamentals for a reason. But in addition to that, like even being in Sunday school setting as well, like I noticed that there was one time when I remember like I was talking to people in my Sunday school class and we happened to bring up the topic of like, what do you experience at school? And what do you face at school? And there were people in my class that had never talked the entire year that were suddenly saying things like, oh, like kids at school call me a terrorist or whatever. And people were like actually opening up and saying things. But we had spent the whole year not even talking about any of that. And we had just been learning like how to memorize the meanings of certain ayahs, things that you can look up on your phone, when we didn't talk about the really important things.
Yeah. And even though like that time should be used to learn about the ayahs and stuff like that, it's so important because you're putting an impression on that person. If they see that's what they're going to be doing all the time, they're not going to want to come back. How many of us went to Sunday school wanting to?
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember there would always be a huge fight at my house every year when it came time to register for Sunday school, because mm-hmm. we would all fight my mom on it and we never wanted to go. And it's because going and learning like Arabic grammar and the Arabic alphabet, again, very important, but it's not going to engage the population that you want to keep and that you want to make sure that they're coming back to the masjid. And when they go out into school and someone's like, oh, I heard on the news that Muslims are terrorists and you're a Muslim, like, are you a terrorist or can you defend that? Like, telling them about Arabic grammar and like different things like that is not going to help them answer that question. So I think it's important to help masjids find a balance between the information that we need as Muslims living in America today and then the information that we also need that's very important to help us continue being good Muslims and learning how to pray and stuff like that.
So I went to an Islamic school until fifth grade, and then my mom forced me to go to Sunday school sixth grade. When I went, I was always late. I didn't want to actually get up and get dressed. Like, I just always looked like a hobo, and that just, it doesn't matter how I was dressing, but it just kind of tells you like how much I wanted to be there, because like if you want to be there, you dress for the part and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we started learning those things that actually related to us, I would always be there on time. Like I wanted to go. When our level ended, I was so upset because I was just learning so much and gaining so much from it. And I think that's what Sunday schools need to do in all levels, not just the last two levels.
Yeah. And I also think that Sunday school not being a place where people are learning about Islam in a way that is applicable to their life is not like completely the fault of the Sunday school or like the institution, because you teach in Sunday school now and I used to teach in Sunday school. And so we've both been on both sides of like being the student in Sunday school and then being the teacher. And it's definitely like not the fault of the teacher or the student. I think it's a lot of the fact is that people don't invest enough money in Sunday school. And a lot of these programs are like super underfunded. And this goes back to just how masjids aren't investing money in their youth. Like youth are going to Sunday school. And if you're not investing money in the youth and you're not investing money in their education, then you're not going to engage with them and you're not going to retain these youth in the masjid.
And I've seen like from my experience, the couple, like the handful of people that are working so hard to make Sunday school a success, and all that pressure is put on those couple of people. But then the rest of our community needs to step up. Like the parents need to step up. Everyone needs to step up because you're investing in your child's future and you're not just like paying money or anything. They're actually learning something and they'll benefit from it.
Yeah. And I think that this is definitely proven. Again, we're being very specific to our community, but I feel like a lot of Muslims can relate to this. We have a private Islamic school. So obviously because it's private, like a lot of money is invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very successful school. Like they do a really great job. Their kids have a lot of Islamic knowledge. They're gaining a lot of like really great skills. And so just comparing that like Islamic school that has like money funded into it versus like our Sunday school that isn't well funded at all, and just like seeing the varying like levels of success, like obviously one is a full-time school and one is just once a week, but still just like seeing like how different levels of money that are invested into programs obviously like really impacts their success. And I think that masjids are not investing in their youth whatsoever. Like a lot of masjids don't have youth centers, they don't have youth programs. If there's like a youth group at the masjid, like they don't have like a fund in the masjid. And if we're not doing that, then we're not giving people opportunities to create like spaces where Muslim youth feel safe and where they feel comfortable.
Yeah. And also it's just, I feel like even if we want to have like youth programs or things like that, it always has to be youth led, which I love. But also at the same time, I feel like we need that, nest to fall back on, like, what would we do if we don't have money or things like that? Like, it's like things that we have to think of as youth, which I don't think we need to.
Yeah. And sometimes if you have like a bunch of young people that are leading themselves, like if we're all equally confused and we can't answer our questions, then sometimes it's nice to have that person who can fall, who we can fall back on, who can answer our questions. But a lot of times, like, masjids don't have that person. Like, you can't just assume that that role is going to be taken up by the imam or is going to be taken up by some woman, like, on the sister's side to help the girls.
Like, you always need to go scavenger for that person. Like, where is this person? And I know we've dealt with that with trying to find someone to talk to or whatever for, like, our youth group and doing, like, an anonymous type thing. Like, Rowan and I have been talking for this for, like, years.
Yeah.
And we still haven't done it because we can't just, like, it goes, there's so much work that you need to put into it and make sure the girls feel comfortable and it's that, like, that trust isn't there. So,
yeah. And I think messages just way too often, like, they leave that responsibility to the community. And if you're lucky, like, your community will take on that role. And I think we have great people in our community. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, that's not fair to the person and that's not fair to the youth because that's not, like, a trusted source. That's not someone who is specifically trained to be helping youth, is specifically trained to be answering your questions, and who we know and trust is not going to like say anything to someone else. So I think it's really important for masjids to invest that money in their youth and like hire someone who works specifically for youth. Like lots of other religious communities in America have people that work specifically for youth. And the fact that literally more often than not now, if you visit a masjid and you ask them for their youth coordinator, they don't have one, I think is really embarrassing and is something that we really need to work on.
And then this is also something that Rami talked about in one of our episodes, and it's because, like, we don't give Muslim youth leadership positions. We're not saying that we want the Muslim youth to run the masjid because obviously there's an orderly manner to do everything, but they should have a say in what goes on in the masjid, and they should be taken seriously, I think. And we don't have that at our masjid, and I'm pretty sure that other masjids don't have that either.
Yeah, and it's not, like, just specific to our masjid. Like, we're using our masjid as an example in this episode because
That's how our experiences are coming from.
Yeah, that's how we can like communicate our experiences and our thoughts. But this is a problem that exists in a lot of masjids. And in one of our previous episodes with Rami, like he talked a lot about these issues. And by not giving Muslim youth leadership positions, we're not like taking their input into account. So we don't know what they want. Like a lot of times in organizations or in companies, when they want to sell to a certain age group or something, they'll make like a focus group and get the people of that age and figure out what they want. Because if you're an adult assuming what 15-year-old boys and girls want, like you're not going to know because you're not a 15-year-old boy, you're not a 15-year-old girl. And good leadership in a masjid also means being able to transition properly. And if you're not giving youth leadership positions from a young age, then once all the older people in the masjid that are running it, like, move away or aren't able to run the masjid anymore, then you're going to have like a bunch of people that
don't know what
are,
they're doing.
Yeah, they're like in their mid 20s or their 30s, those that were once the youth in the masjid and they were never given a leadership position. So they have no idea how the masjid runs. And quite frankly, they're probably not engaged in the masjid because no one was engaging them from before.
Yeah, and they don't feel like they have that responsibility towards the masjid because why are you asking me now in my late 20s or whatever to come run the masjid that I was never ever a part of?
Yeah, and even at like, at my college and stuff, like a lot of times there are like faculty advisory boards for departments or majors, and they always have students on them. Like most things at my college that like involve professors or involve some sort of decision making always have students on them. If even if it's just one student, because they know that that student perspective is so important and they want to bring people on, they want to know what we want. And I think that that's just like a model that every organization and every company has, is that when you want the perspective of a certain group or when you value that group, then bring them on. So if masjids aren't bringing youth on, then I think that sends an underlying message that they don't value the youth. And that's not true necessarily, but it's what comes across.
Yeah. And I feel like they just don't think of it because now they're running it. So they're like, you know, this is not going to happen for a while. So it's not like the biggest priority. Now we have other things to focus on.
Yeah. I think it's important to just bring Muslim youth into those settings because at the same time, like even if they're not really doing much, like they're gaining that perspective, like they're gaining mentors, like they can see like how hard the adults in the community are working to run our masjid, and just having that experience in that environment and being exposed to positive Muslim role models is so important for youth. And just bringing them on, even to like ask them, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this event? Instead of expecting that youth are going to be the ones that build their own projects or build their own things is really important.
And it's just so important also for the youth to see that, to appreciate what the adults are doing, because it is hard work. Mm-hmm. They each have their own jobs, their own lives, and then they're taking time to come to the masjid and run it because there aren't other people to do it, you know? So I feel like they would gain appreciation from the youth, and then there would be an understanding between them, and not that youth are in the shadow and they don't know what's going on and they're like, oh, well, they don't want my perspectives. They might want it, but there's just not that communication either.
Yeah, and I think that leads into a lot of kind of transitioning to talk about what we can do and good examples of masjids today. Because while we did talk about like the flaws of masjids, like we have a great community, I think. We have a great masjid, and we're very fortunate to have that. But just because you criticize something and you point out its flaws and its problems doesn't mean you don't love it. Like, you know, your parents will criticize you and they'll tell you what you're doing wrong. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means that they want you to be better. And I think that's where this is coming from. And that's where this episode and our thoughts on this episode are coming from, is we want masjids in America to improve because they played such a big role for me in my life. Like, I grew up in the masjid. Like, mm-hmm. when I was little, like, every Friday night I was in the masjid. Like, I can't imagine, like, my life without growing up in the masjid. And it's something that I, like, love and value so much. And I think has really impacted my life in so many ways. And I want it to be better because in the future, when other kids are going through the masjid, then when I like think about the problems that I felt growing up, like as a Muslim in America, and the gaps in the masjid then that I noticed, and I was like, oh, our masjid doesn't have that. Like, I don't want other people to have to go through that. And I think that by talking about it and bringing these issues forward, like we can make it so that other kids don't have to go through that same thing. And we can create like a better generation of Muslims who have the resources that they need to succeed as Muslims in America.
Yeah. And obviously, if you don't care about something, you won't talk about it. Like, it just doesn't affect you. But obviously, this has affected us. So that's why we've talked about it.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of masjids in America that are doing a great job, and a lot of imams that are really trying to figure out, like, okay, like, what do people need and how do I cater to that? And one example that I absolutely love is Imam Sohaib Webb in New York. He does these Instagram like question sessions. And if you don't follow him on Instagram, you should, because he's absolutely amazing. Like, he does these sessions where he'll put the little Instagram question box and he'll say, ask me a question, and you can ask him anything. And he answers like really, really taboo, you know, topics, and answers people's very personal questions. And he does them in a way that's backed by Islamic knowledge, which is why it's so important to have that fundamental Islamic knowledge. But he shows you how to apply that. He shows you how to apply like hadiths and ayahs from the Quran to issues that every single person goes through. And what I love is that he doesn't like shy away from talking about anything.
No, I've seen like so many of the questions and I would be embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? You know? But then he answers it in such a way that's like, you answered the question, you didn't make that person feel bad, and everyone's happy, you know?
Yeah. And I think that his model is, you know, what a lot of imams are doing now today too. But I think the more and more Islamic leadership that we can get to do things like that, maybe not on Instagram if that's not what they're comfortable with, but just kind of having that attitude and having those environments where you can ask questions about anything and no one feels judged or excluded or left out is really important.
And it's so important because like Suhaib Webb has that Instagram life thing, there are many meme pages. Like I had followed this meme page and they do something like that and they do like a Sunday school. But if someone asks a taboo or shameful question, the person's like, oh, that's haram, just don't do it. Like, it's not, they don't have Islamic knowledge about it. They don't back it up by Islam. And it's just like putting people down and stuff like that. So it's so important to see people doing things like this because then the person isn't shying away. And like, you know, sometimes you'll ask a question and that'll be like your breaking point, you know? And if it's like really important for you to know it and someone's like, oh, that's haram, just don't do it and you'll be fine. You're going to be like, oh, well, is that how people in Islam treat me? So I'm just like going to do whatever I want.
Yeah. Having influencers that are, you know, people who are professionally trained in Islamic knowledge who can also answer your questions in a way that is applicable and the way that in a way that you don't feel judged is super important instead of just having like someone who is Muslim, because obviously not all Muslims can answer your questions.
Yeah, this Muslim was like a 28-year-old guy that won't show his face on his social media and he was an accountant. I was like, I don't know about you, but I just don't want to ask you questions just because of how much I've seen, like, you're going to go to hell for this. Or even in the Sunday schools, it's like, if you're this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to, like, everything's just hell, you know? So I feel like Suhaib Webb ties it in a way where it's not like you're going to go to hell. It's just like, here's this way of how to do things, and this is what you're supposed to do, and it's up to you, whatever you want to do. Because at the end of the day, as adolescents, we want to feel like we're in control of what we want to do, and that whatever we do is going to affect us, if good or bad, we get to make that decision.
Yeah. And another example of a really great masjid, or it's not even really a masjid, it's a spiritual social space. It's called Roots in Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's really awesome. And if you don't follow them on Instagram, you should too. They have a really awesome space where they have different events for people of different age groups, and they do such a great job of what we were talking about earlier of avoiding that one-size-fits-all approach. They really take different age groups and different identities and they try and cater to those identities. So for example, they'll have sessions for expecting moms, or they'll have sessions for people that are 30 and up, or people that are, you know, of a certain age group, like young women or young men, or something for dads about how to be, you know, leaders in Islam, you know, as a dad, or how to teach your kids Islamic values. So if you just go on their Instagram and look through, like, you can see all their flyers for their events, and they do such a good job, mashallah, like splitting it up and like catering to different categories. And like, that's the kind of spaces we need. We need spaces that are like spiritual, social spaces aside from just masjids, where people can really grow and learn and really feel like they have like a community where they feel safe and they feel like my needs and my questions are being catered to. And it's not just like one lecture for the whole masjid.
And like Rami discussed in our other episode too, if you feel like your masjid has any of these problems or other problems that we didn't discuss, go and talk to the people at your masjid. They're probably going to be very understanding. They just don't see it from your perspective because we just see from where we're affected, you know? So if your masjid doesn't realize that these are issues, they're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, but also admittedly, sometimes for youth, it can be very hard to talk to your masjid or to approach them. So another thing that I remember Rami mentioning was that if you don't feel comfortable talking to your masjid, maybe find like another adult or like an ally in the masjid who will talk to them for you, because those leaders that are supporting youth are also really important.
Yeah, and I think if you feel like you don't have a space and you want to be involved in the masjid, create your own. And Rawan and I will tell you that it's not ideal, but someone needs to step up and do something about it. Even though it's not the best thing that could happen, but sometimes you just have to take one for the team.
Yeah, it's definitely not the easiest thing in the world, but I think it's worth it in the end. And if that's like your last option, like if your masjid can't fund it, if your masjid isn't doing it, then I think sometimes someone just has to step up, and in the end it pays off. I think it's challenging, but it pays off and it helps you solve those problems that you see firsthand and start to be the person that's creating those solutions.
And not only are you solving it for other people, but you're solving it for yourself first. Like, you want to see these changes, and that's why you're doing it.
So as much as we talked a lot about the issues that our masjids face. There are a lot of masjids that are doing great things, and we're definitely on, I think, the upward trend to improving masjids in America. But this episode hopefully just brings us to realize a little bit more of the problems and kind of understand like how complex they are and what kind of factors we need to fix them from the perspective of the youth. And there's definitely a lot of other perspectives that need to be included to really improve masjids in America today.
Okay, and that's all we have for you guys today. We hope you enjoyed this episode about masjids in America, and we hope that it helps you all reflect on your own communities and your own spiritual spaces. And just to let you guys know, I want to put a heart beside that.
I put a heart in the script, but you guys can't see it. But remember to follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share this episode with your friends and family and maybe your masjids too. And give us any feedback about this episode by messaging us on Instagram or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.